And welcome to another episode of Science Chat, the science communication podcast. I'm Sean Marshall. This episode, I speak to Julia Wilson, communications officer and voice of young science coordinator in Sense About Science.
Julia, welcome to Science Chat.
Hi, Sean.
Let's start off with a straightforward one. What exactly is Sense About Science and how does it work?
Sense About Science is a charity, and what we do is we try to equip people to make sense of science and evidence. And the way we do that is we have a database of over 4,000 scientists who offer their help and expertise to us for free, and we work with these scientists in all sorts of different ways. And we work with them to try and respond to scientific misinformation in public discussions about science. And these are particularly over contentious and controversial areas, so issues like radiation or the dangers of chemicals and GM crops, that sort of thing. But we also work with these scientists to make sure that different civic groups have access to scientists and also the best available evidence and information that's available. So we work with different civic groups, so people who are speaking to the public about science, or who have members of the public coming to them with questions about a particular area, asking, what is the evidence? Should I be concerned about this? So we have, we help patient groups, parliamentarians, journalists, local authorities, all sorts of different groups who have a public constituency. And we have on our website a contact a scientist facility, so that these different groups can come to us with questions and we'll then put them in touch with a scientist from our database. So that's one area of what we do. And another part of our work is about equipping people with the tools to make sense of science and evidence. So explaining how science works, giving some tools of scientific reasoning, to try and equip people with the questions to ask when reading about research claims or miracle cures on the internet. What are the questions that scientists ask when they look at those claims? So things like, is it published in a peer-reviewed journal? Has there been a clinical trial? What kind of study is it? Those sorts of questions. So those are the three of our work. But another program of work that we run is our Voice of Young Science program. And this program was set up to really try and encourage early career researchers, so PhD students and postdocs, to encourage them to get involved in public discussions about science and to give this message that you don't have to wait until the end of your career to speak out on matters that really matter and to stand up for science. So we hold a series of workshops for early career researchers to address their concerns about speaking to the media and standing up for science and to really encourage them to get more involved. And from this, a network of over 800 early career researchers has grown. And this network has developed a really strong identity for responding to bad science and taking on all sorts of different myth-busting and evidence-hunting projects. So to give some examples of projects that they've done, one was looking at detox products that different companies sell, and calling up these companies and asking for the evidence behind the claims that they're making. And then they've released transcripts of the conversations that they had to the public to really try and encourage scrutiny and this need to ask for the evidence behind claims. And another project that they did was in response to homeopaths setting up clinics in Africa and claiming to treat HIV, malaria, infant diarrhea, some really serious diseases. And so members of this Voice Network wrote to the World Health Organization and called on the body to condemn the promotion of homeopathy for serious diseases. So the Voice Network is a real strong group of early career researchers who myth-bust and hunt for the evidence.
Okay, and do they take it on themselves to decide on what topics to look at, or are they directed in some way?
Yeah, so they get in touch with me with things that are really frustrating them. So with the detox project, that was something that a number of people were saying, oh, I can't stand it. Every January when I go to the shops or turn on the telly, all I hear about is detox diets and products, and you know, there's no scientific evidence behind them. So yeah, they will come to me with ideas for projects, and then I will help coordinate them.
And with the more general work that Sense About Science does, how do they select the projects or the issues to get involved in? I mean, that's one of the things that always interests me, is how they decide which ones to go for.
Sure. Well, our remit is for the public, so we always have to start with a public discussion. So we're a very small office. There are just six of us in the office at Sense About Science. And every day we'll monitor the newspapers and see what's being discussed about science, but also look at different internet forums and see what the public discussion is. And also supporters from our network will send in areas of concern. And we also keep an eye on what different civic groups are coming to us with questions about. And so when we see that something keeps on coming up, we'll decide to do something about it and do a more long-term project. But sort of the main, how we decide whether to do something or not is, does this really matter to the public? Is it of concern, and can we help them?
Okay. And what key areas or issues is Sense About Science involved in at this moment?
Lots of different things going on at the moment. Something which is quite separate to a lot of the work we do is our libel reform campaign, which you may have heard about.
Yeah.
It's a campaign to reform the UK libel laws, which we feel are really preventing particularly scientists from speaking up, from really doing what we try to encourage scientists to do, to stand up for science. And we've seen even from journals that scientific papers are being prevented from being published for fear of libel. And so we've launched this campaign. We've got support from 50,000 members of the public, and the government is now drafting a bill to reform the libel law. So we're waiting to see that bill at the moment. So that's one really big key area of our work. To give an idea of some other things that are going on, we've got a publication on the way, which we're calling Is There a Link? And it's looking at epidemiological studies. So it's really all the stories in the papers that link lifestyle and disease. So when you hear, you know, one glass of wine a day makes you live longer, or drinking coffee linked to breast cancer, all those headlines that we see can be really confusing and sort of flip-flop. One day coffee's good for you, one day coffee's bad for you. And so we're putting together a publication to explain the difference between association and causation, and to really explain how these studies work, what to look out for when you read a story on that subject. And I mean, there are lots of other areas that we're working on. We're also looking at drug safety. We're putting together something which is describing the process of drug development. So something from from the medical breakthrough, what happens, what's the process from then until when that drug is on the shelves for us to use. And we're also expanding our work internationally. So we're holding a number of workshops in the US. I was also in South Africa in December. So there are all sorts of different things going on.
And what's your primary means of getting this information to the public then? I mean, you mentioned there that you have a publication on the way. How do you then get that out to the general public? Is it through TV campaigns or through the print media?
A number of different ways. Usually when we produce a new publication, we'll press release it. And we'll try and sort of bring a story together with that release. And we have good relationships with a lot of the science reporters and journalists. But as well as that, we also may hold an event or something to promote it, but as well as that, we work really through intermediaries. So being a small charity, it's very difficult to reach the public as a whole. So we work with the different groups in civic society who were speaking to the public about science, so different patient groups and journalists, policy makers. We make sure that they hear about our work and see our publications, And so hopefully when the public come to them with questions, they can pass on that information.
Yeah, it almost seems to me often, though, that the organisations that you're trying to stand up against, if you like, seem to have much more resources on their side to be able to bombard the public with their message.
Yes, that is always a challenge. But I feel that the work that we've done has made a big impact on public discussion, and we see with projects like the detox, responding to detox products and claims that our Network of Early Career Researchers did, that's really been embedded in public discussion, and it's really popular in the media. It received lots of coverage. And then we hear it every January coming up again when we hear about detox products. We're also always seeing the other side of the story with journalists reporting that actually, there's no need to detox. There's no scientific evidence behind it.
Okay. And are there any other, shall we say, high-profile success stories that you could tell us about?
We've done a lot of work on popularising peer review, so the process that scientific papers are published. We felt that was a really useful tool for the public to, when they read about a story, say, in the newspaper, to ask, well, has that research been peer-reviewed? And if it hasn't, to ask why it hasn't. Because if something's been peer-reviewed, it means it's been scrutinised by other researchers in the field. So it's a good sort of quality benchmark. We're not saying it's perfect, but it's a good question to ask. And we released a public guide, which is called I Don't Know What to Believe, and it very simply explains the process of peer review. And since releasing that guide, we've seen a huge change in the way that journalists report scientific research. You'll now see when you read the paper that pretty much anywhere, including the tabloids, will say the journal that the research has been reported in. And this guide has, we've printed over 300,000 copies of this short guide, and it is used in civil service training here and also by NHS Direct. So that's been a really successful story with that. And obviously our libel reform campaign is a really good way of showing the impact of our work and also what a difference scientists can make. So, when people feel passionate about something and that something really has to change, you can make a difference. And after making a fuss about something, the government is now drafting a bill to reform the libel law.
Would you say that you find it easy or difficult to get scientists involved in the work that Sense About Science does? And are they eager to contribute once they know that there's a forum that allows them to?
Yes, I would say we have lots and lots of really willing scientists who are very happy to help. Every time that one of our projects is discussed in the media or at an event, we suddenly get a big influx of offers of support. And it's very easy to get involved. Scientists can just go to our website and fill in a form to join our database. And we also find that once a scientist has worked with us on a particular project, that they'll then work with us for years after and always be very involved in our work. And we find that is in the same way with other sort of professional and learned societies that we work with. We may get in touch with them for access to lots of different scientists in a particular field. We find that once we work with a society once, we'll then, have a lasting relationship and they'll help us out many times again in the future.
Well, that's quite a difference from what the previous thinking was with regard to scientists and communication. It used to be said that scientists either didn't want to or weren't able to communicate, so it certainly seems to be a change.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a really big change. I think there's still a lot more to be done. I think science outreach has had a huge following and is incredibly popular at the moment. So there are plenty of scientists speaking to schools or at science festivals, sort of explaining how science works. But where we really feel that scientists need to be speaking up is where it really matters to society and where members of the public are actually concerned about things. We actually need scientists talking to the public at those times.
Finally, are there any areas of interest that we can expect to see Sense About Science involved in the near future? Is there anything we should be looking out for?
Well, look out for libel reform, because when the government draft this bill, we're ready to respond to it, and hopefully we'll have a law that we're pleased with. And then, as I said, we have a publication on drug safety research looking at actually the process of drug development. Look out for us internationally at some big science festivals in the US, and hopefully holding a larger science festival in the UK at some point in the future. We're doing some work on MMR and autism, and looking at childhood vaccinations. And again, our publication, Is There a Link?, which is linking lifestyle and disease and how to really look at those stories. So hopefully we'll be spotted in the near future.
That's great. All that remains for me to do then is to thank you very much, Julia, for joining me today on Science Chat.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Well, that's it for this episode. You can find out more about Sense About Science and the work that they do on their website, www.senseaboutscience.org.uk. And as usual, you can find out more about this episode and other Science Chat episodes on the Science Chat blog, www.sciencechat.net/wordpress.